This stock and commodity report is made possible with support of the Friends of WILL and Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 29th day of February 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. And then a bit later in the program, the folks from the Andersons will join us to take a look at the cash grain market. They're right here in Champaign County. As we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Mark Russo up at Risk Pulse in Chicago. And along the way today, we'll hear all the agricultural news and a bit from Emerson Nafziger about a North Central Region initiative to collect data from farmers and their soybean fields over 3 to 5 crop years to find maybe some patterns that really do impact crop yield. And it all comes up during this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's take a look at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this Monday afternoon. The March contract down a penny at $3.53.5 in the corn pit. The May futures at $3.57, 2.5 cents lower in July, down 2.5 as well at $3.61.75. December corn down 2.5, $3.75.75. The March soybeans at $8.53, down 2. May down 2.5 at $8.61. July $8.67.5, 2.5 lower. And the November beans at $8.73.5, finished 2.5 cents lower. Bean meal futures at $2.59.30, up $2.10. The bean oil at $30.64.39 lower. Wheat futures March contract down a penny and 3/4 at $4.45. July for the soft red at $4.60 1/4, down 0.75 cents. The hard red at $4.67 1/4, down up 2 3/4 cents. I should say that July contract was up 0.75 cents, not down 0.75. Live cattle futures February contract $139.50. $1.95 higher. This is the last day they will trade this long. Tomorrow they will be settled at this time, as the CME Group is changing the closes to 205 or 105, if I remember correctly. April contract at $136.90. They're down a dime in the live cattle. March feeders at $158.17.5, 47.5 cents lower. April, however, at $158.90, up a nickel. And the lean hogs April contract $70.12.5, 72.5 cents lower. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Here's what some of the outside markets look like at this time. Crude oil, the April contract, $33.81 a barrel, $1.03 higher. Ethanol futures at $1.37 8/10, 9/10 of a cent lower. Gasoline on the wholesale price, the RBOB, $1.04 4/10 of a cent, up 2 7/10. And heating oil at $1.07 7/10, that's 2 6/10 of a cent higher. Natural gas at $1.70 1/2, down 8 6/10 of a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 16,555, down 46 points. The U.S. dollar at 98.23, that's up 0.05. And the gold futures on the afternoon are currently trading at $1,239 even. They're up $18.50. Here's what the weather forecast calls for in the Urbana-Champaign area this evening: a 40% chance of rainfall. That'll come after 2 a.m. in the morning. Increasing clouds, a low of around 37 degrees tonight. Tomorrow, rain likely before 5 p.m. Then a chance of rain, maybe even some snow. Cloudy, a high of 44 degrees. It'll be breezy on a south wind tomorrow during the day at 7 to 12, turning to the north-northwest at 20 to 25. Winds could gust as high as 33 degrees or 33 miles per hour tomorrow. The chance of precip set at 70%, little or no snow accumulation. Cloudy, then gradually becoming partly cloudy overnight, and will drop to a low of 22. It will be blustery out there on a northwest wind at 20 to 25 miles an hour. We're on the weather forecast. When we get to the bottom of the half hour, we'll talk with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. They're right now, and this is the last day you'll be able to do this and have the tickets delivered to you in your mailbox, though you can continue to buy tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook. If you want them mailed to you, go online right now, willag.org, or call 800-898-1065. Our All-Day Agricultural Outlook over at the Beef House is on the 8th day of March. That's a week and a day away, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. It should be a fantastic day. One of the people that will be there is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and joins us now to talk about the marketplace. And, I guess we might want to talk, too, about your outing tomorrow evening with one of our Will Ag panels. We'll be over in Sherman. That's near Springfield, Illinois, tomorrow night at 6:30. Looking forward to seeing you. And Dan Zwicker, and who else will be on with us that night? Let's see. Oh, yeah, Mike Zuzlo is on with us that night, too. So should be a great evening. Looking forward to having you there.
Yeah, I always appreciate going to those. I'll sit right in the middle of the two and referee, I guess, and see what we come up with. But you always put together great panels. It doesn't matter who you have on it. They're all good panelists to be with, and I'm sure we'll have some good questions and some good commentary throughout the evening there, Todd.
You bet. It'll be you and Mike and Dan there tomorrow night, along with Gary Schnitke. Gary will go through the Arc County payments for potential, that is, the last crop year, the 2015, and he'll also go through crop insurance. And then you guys all are doing something a little different for me. You're all going to make a short presentation, and we'll have a panel discussion. Then the following day, Mike and Dan and then Chip Nillinger will be with me. We'll go to Litchfield and do a similar function. So it should be a couple of good days. Both events are up online at willag.org. Those are free and open. Check them out. Get all the details there. And while you're online, do buy that ticket for the All-Day Ag Outlook. So we haven't got a lot of changes to talk about, frankly, in the marketplace. It's been pretty quiet, though we're back down on the low end of the trading range. And this is a trading range we've had around for quite some time for both corn and soybeans. Are they going to break out of it anytime soon?
Well, I think we're going to find some stability down at these lower levels. We're due for some cyclical lows. Producer selling is kind of starting to come to a halt here on the short-term scale, so there's reason to believe that, you know, we could have some recovery. The commodity funds were sellers of 1,000 contracts of beans, 2,000 contracts of corn on the day. It felt heavier than that, but that's kind of the totals going into midday. Also, too, we're seeing talk that the Chinese economy might be starting to turn here. Crude oil might have found a longer-term low in through here. The thing we got to watch next week is that China's got this People's Congress meeting, and there's talk of heading off some of this imports into their country, especially on the feed grain side of the equation. And there's ideas they could cut the corn support by 30%. Currently, it's about $310 a metric ton. It could be down to about $214. Even though they don't want any of our corn or DDGs, it sort of sets the stage there that some of this feed wheat could slow also. But other than that, we're looking at the crop insurance price being near this 387 area versus 415 last year. Price is going to be about 885, not 3885 versus 973 a year ago. So that's going to be factored into some maybe marketing plans here as we go into this springtime.
What are farmers talking to you about their acreage plans at this point?
It's quite interesting. Actually, the meetings and farm shows, guys here in the Central Belt stick with corn. They say, corn's a lot more money, but I got a better chance of making money on corn versus beans. There's talk of, some of these fringe areas maybe dropping out, but we'll see. Even the cotton guys are even wanting to put in some more cotton this year, and that's fairly pricey. So the farmer's all in. He's got all the chips in there. He's going to go for it. And so hopefully we'll have some good weather here, so he'll have some bushels to market here next fall.
What are the outside markets influencing at this time? So crude oil and the dollar.
The crude oil, we're in this mid-$33 area. It's kind of taking the pressure off. Investor confidence has come back into the marketplace. We're looking at gasoline still cheaper than the price of ethanol. That could maybe be a little bit of concern in through here. But just seeing stability in the outside marketplace has given, a little bit more of a positive tone in through here. Traders continue to talk the strength and weakness of the dollar. But when you kind of step back and look at the big picture, that dollar's been up and down, up and down. It's just a matter of which currency you're comparing it to. Then also, too, if we run into a weather situation or a demand situation where a particular country needs some grain, it doesn't matter whether the dollar's strong or weak. They're going to step up and be a buyer, Todd.
I made note that Chris Hurt wrote an article for the Weekly Outlook on the Farm Doc Daily website today, taking a look at profits and losses per head for livestock, for hogs in particular. He sees some losses in the first and the fourth quarter, but greater profits in the second and the third quarter of 2016. Any advice for livestock producers?
Well, when you look into that last half, it's quite interesting, it's particularly the hogs. We've got a real good premium going in the summer hogs into almost into the fall there. Where you pencil that out, it's not too bad. However, though, the cattle complex is the complete opposite. You got the strength up front here and quite a bit of discount in the back end. So we'll see how this demand unfolds in through here and see what our numbers have to show us. As you mentioned, today is the first day of the new trading hours, and that was sort of brought on from the Cattlemen's Association having a big meeting out west. They invited CME there, particularly Duffy, and they sat down with him and kind of explained, hey, we're using this product as a hedge, and that's not quite working out just right. Even the speculative crowd wasn't quite happy with the volume and activity on those extended hours. So they made this change here. So we'll see how things unfold here as far as volume and liquidity and volatility here over the next couple of months in the cattle pit particularly.
Hey, thanks so much, and we'll see you tomorrow evening in Sherman.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Kirk Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He will be in Sherman at the Farm Credit Illinois building along with Dan Zwicker and Mike Zuzlow, Gary Schnittke, and myself. That starts 6:30 with some light refreshments, and then we'll get right into the meeting at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Litchfield is on Wednesday. We'll be at the Lincoln Land Community College building at 10 o'clock. If you're pulling off at the main Litchfield exit, there are just two of them, but if you pull off at the main one, you'll see the Lincoln Land Community College building. It's not very hard to see from the interstate, in fact, and we'll be presenting at 10 o'clock. Part of a larger function starts around 8 in the morning for St. Francis Hospital there. So if you're interested in either of those, be sure to visit our website, get all the details, and while you're there, buy your tickets for the all-day Ag Outlook. Just $30 at the Will Ag Outlook for the Beef House in Covington, Indiana on Tuesday, the 8th day of March. In today's agricultural news, both sides say there's already a lack of trust between the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and farmers, and one U.S. senator says federal regulators have showed their stripes with the new sweeping waters of the U.S. rule. The EPA's administrator has repeatedly told Congress in testimony that WOTUS will not affect normal farming operations, but Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley took to the Senate floor recently to recount the experience under current law of California farmer John Duarte, who hired someone to plow 450 acres of wheat while avoiding wet spots on the land.
But that plowing, which disturbed only the top few inches of soil, unleashed a firestorm from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the Environmental Protection Agency, and other regulators against California Farm Bureau member. The regulators' actions stopped Duarte from raising wheat, tried to force him to pay millions of dollars to restore the wetlands in perpetuity, although there was no evidence of damage and sparked lawsuits and counter lawsuits.
Duarte's family has spent nearly $1 million in legal fees so far, and EPA hasn't even imposed WOTUS. It's been frozen by a federal court order. Duarte says the noose seems to get tighter every year. Grassley says farmers are feeling the pain as regulators pile on the Clean Water Act, the Clean Air Act, and the Endangered Species Act.
Just think how you would feel if your family farm had survived for decades, overcoming droughts, overcoming flooding, overcoming price declines, and you can name 10 other things that a farmer has no control over, and then you have to put up with this nonsense. However, one day, a government regulator could show up at your farm and hit you with excessive fines, and the next thing you know, your family farm is being auctioned off. Now, this may sound absurd, but that is the reality of threats posed by the EPA. Mr. Duarte's case is the proof.
Duarte's case is expected to go to trial in March. On that note, the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency today said she has 11 months to push forward her agency goals. Gina McCarthy says EPA's primary mission is to protect public health.
Many people think because the E is in the EPA that we're not about public health. But frankly, that is what we do for a living. That's what the environment is for us, is how do we have a clean environment so that we can protect public health.
Administrator McCarthy made her comments at Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health during the monthly Voices in Leadership webcast series. McCarthy's view is skewed slightly from the agency's stated mission and purposes found at EPA.gov. It says the mission is, quote, to protect human health and the environment, unquote, with the purpose to ensure, quote, that environmental protection is an integral consideration in U.S. policies concerning natural resources, human health, economic growth, energy, transportation, agriculture, industry, and international trade, and these factors are similarly considered in establishing environmental policy, unquote. McCarthy should remain in her post at a minimum through the end of the Obama administration. Let's stay in Washington, D.C., and with agricultural policy, a letter sent to the Senate and House Budget Committees last week urges lawmakers to protect crop insurance from further cuts. The letter, signed by 58 farm organizations, tells lawmakers an over-reliance on savings from the agricultural community in the future would significantly undermine rural economies that have faced an estimated 54% decline in net farm income from 2013 to 2015. The group says the 2014 Farm Bill is a careful balance of priorities and should not be reopened before its expiration in 2018 to achieve additional budget savings. Lawmakers avoided a $3 billion cut to crop insurance through a catch-all spending bill last year after the cuts were approved in an earlier budget agreement. And finally today, a U.S. Grains Council official told the U.S. Agricultural Outlook Forum last week China's demand for animal products will continue to rise in the coming years. Brian Lomar, director of U.S. Grains Council programs in China, said that will drive demand for feed grains, including from imports. Lomar spoke as part of a panel examining China's economic situation and its impact on agricultural markets. Lomar said when demand for animal products exceeds domestic supply, China will import either finished agricultural products or feed grains. Either way, global demand for grains will rise. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. There you'll find our calendar of events, including tomorrow evening Sherman Will Ag panel, the one in Litchfield during the day on Wednesday, and of course next week's all-day Ag Outlook, and a way to buy the tickets too at WILLAG.org. Don't wait. Do it right now, 800-898-1065. Now up next, you know, soybean farmers in 10 states across the Midwest are being asked 20 questions. I'll have more on a soybean checkoff funded project to benchmark the yield impact of different production practices. The primary goal of the Soybean Checkoff-funded project is to benchmark current yield and management practices in producer fields. This will happen across the north-central region of the United States. Think the Midwest. The benchmarking data will help identify key management factors in each state and across the region. The hope is producers will use the information to increase soybean yield on their farms and do that with an input use efficiency that would improve profits. Essentially, University of Illinois agronomist Emerson Nafstiger says the project is a survey that aggregates data so that each farm becomes a plot.
It doesn't replace what we're trying to do in some of our replicated research, but it's every field becomes a plot in a system like this. And you say, you know, for these thousands of fields, here's what we did and here's what we got and here's what made a difference in terms of yield.
The collaborative project is directed through the North Central Region Program. Farmers in Nebraska, Wisconsin, Ohio, Michigan, Iowa, Indiana, Minnesota, Kansas, Illinois, and North Dakota will be asked to self-report field yield and associated crop management practices data to 1. Evaluate current on-farm management relative to recommended optimal practices, and 2. Discern the yield impact of individual factors and their relative importance. The project involves farmers filling out a form with about 20 questions on it, says Extension's Emerson Nafsicker.
It does, and we're being very careful to make sure that there's never any names attached to any of this. It's using survey data to produce predictions about how we manage in a particular soil in the future. And that's what applied research is always about. We want to predict what will happen when we narrow the rows or increase the seeding rate or add fungicide or do something like this to soybean fields in the future.
Data collected from the surveys will be aggregated and analyzed for patterns and implications. Project coordinators in each state, Nafsicker, for instance, in Illinois, will manage the data collection and privacy issues. The survey will cover several growing seasons. The data is now being gathered on the 2014 and 15 crop years. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. On this Monday afternoon, time to check the cash grain markets with Greg Johnson. He's at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I suspect it's quiet. What's the marketplace like today?
Market is very quiet as far as farmer selling is concerned. We've seen a lot of people switch their bids from bidding versus the March to now bidding versus the May. And in that transition, I think basis levels have improved slightly, maybe 1 or 2 cents. So that's probably the big news today, lack of farmer selling, which is nothing new. But switching over to the May bids, we've seen basis levels pick up 1 or 2 cents.
And one very quick thing, there was a lot of talk that the basis contracts would come due on 1 March and that all took place last week. Did it really have an impact in the marketplace, do you think?
No, it just reinforced the fact that there's a lot of unsold grain out there. I think that's probably the big takeaway from all that.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn 360, new corn 351, cash beans 849, new crop 848, cash wheat 435, and new crop also 435.
See you at the All Day Ag Outlook next week.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Greg Johnson. He's at the Andersons and will be with us next week on Tuesday for the All Day. You can, too.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's Leap Year Day. It's occurred every 4 years except in century years not divisible by 400, since Julius Caesar reconciled solar and lunar calendars in 45 BC. Caesar had commemorative coins struck to mark the new calendar. In 1582, Pope Gregory XIII further refined the Julian calendar. By that time, Caesar's calendar had drifted a full 10 days off course. By the way, Russia was the last country to officially convert to the Georgian system, but only after the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. It's also National Surf and Turf Day. The origin of the term is not clear, but it appears to have gained widespread popularity in the early 1960s. On this day in agricultural history in 1736, Ann Lee, founder of the Shakers, was born. To commemorate her birthday each year on March 1st, the Shakers hold an afternoon meeting followed by a supper at which this cake is served. The original recipe advises cut a handful of peach twigs, which are filled with sap at this season of the year, clip the ends and bruise them and beat the cake batter with them. This will impart a delicious peach flavor to the cake. And in 2004, British actress Dana Broccoli died. She was producer of the James Bond movies, including The World Is Not Enough, where Bond learns arch-enemy Blofeld was brainwashing young British and Irish women to carry biological warfare agents back to Britain and Ireland to destroy Britain's agricultural economy. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
It's a Monday afternoon, the 29th day of February. One of these beautiful, gorgeous days like this only occurs once every 4 years, apparently. And we have Mark Russo of Wrist Pulse on the line from Chicago to tell us about the weather forecast. And what a gorgeous day it's been here in central Illinois, Mark.
Yeah, certainly is here, Todd, and yet again, another taste of spring. We've seen a higher frequency of these nice days, more springtime weather. It's not going to last here, although more spring-like weather is on the way. So, again, it's what we've seen here, kind of a little bit of a roller coaster ride in the temperatures. There is going to be, as we go into tomorrow, some cooler air working its way into the Midwest and some snow actually in sections of like northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin, on over through southern Michigan. But that will only last, as far as the temperatures are concerned, only last a few days as we get into the upcoming weekend and into next week. Temperatures climbing to warmer than normal levels, and it looks to actually have a little bit of legs here to it, where not just this great weather here kind of centered on the weekend, but it looks like for next week it's going to be actually prevailing throughout much of the week, including the weekend. So all in all, no sign of any really extreme cold coming in, which you go back a year ago and we were in the midst of a very strong Arctic air mass actually setting record temperatures on the cold side across Illinois and the Midwest. This year it's the complete opposite, setting hot temperature records.
Any thought that the yo-yo pattern that we've been in will bring to us in early spring?
Well, with the temperatures here into the middle part of March, when we do warmer than normal levels, overall March is shaping up to be a warmer than normal month. And if anything here for the Midwest, one of the top 10 or maybe 15 warmest Marches that we've seen going back to 1950. It's not going to match like what we had back in 2012, which was, record-setting and blew other previous record warm years out of the water, but certainly an above normal normal temperature month here for March. And precipitation overall, it's shaping up to be kind of near normal across much sections of the Midwest, although there is a risk of heavier precip, primarily in the southern parts of the Midwest, as well as down into the southern U.S. overall.
And then let's come back to this next couple of days. Detail just briefly for me. Mostly rain in our part of the world here, and who will get snow?
Yeah, the main snow band looks to be a line from eastern Iowa across the Wisconsin-Illinois border through the Michigan-northern Indiana border. Within that zone, only talking basically 1 to 4 inches, with the highest snowfall totals in southern Wisconsin, southern Michigan, and for just the far northern counties in Illinois, a couple of inches. But as you go further south, it's all rain.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us.
Yeah, my pleasure, Todd.
That is Mark Russo. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 29th day of March. Do visit our website. Purchase your tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook at WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.